Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Women Arsecast December edition. Well, there'll be a couple of December editions, but let's not waste time with admin. Arsenal play Lyon at Emirates Stadium on Thursday evening in the Women's Champions League in a game that I think at the beginning, or at least when the draw was made for the Champions League, I think a lot of Arsenal fans probably thought that this would be a much more pivotal game for us than it is. It is, however, a very, very pivotal game for Lyon in the group, probably more so than Arsenal, who, just to remind you of the ramifications, need to avoid a 5-goal defeat to definitely qualify for the quarterfinals. And if they get a point or more, they will be guaranteed top of the group with a game to go away at Zurich, where they should win anyway, quite frankly. So we thought we'd have a look ahead to that game because certainly Lyon, the most successful women's team in history, and Arsenal probably up there with Wolfsburg as the second most successful women's team in the history of women's football. But to discuss the game with us, the person who literally wrote the book on Lyon Féminine, the author of Olympic Lyonnaise, Queens of Europe, contributor to the London is Blue Chelsea Women podcast. I don't think there's a lot of crossover in our respective audiences there, but nevertheless... to talk about Lyon, Abdullah, thanks so much for joining us.
No, I appreciate it. Just another one, another show I wanted to get off the bucket list and finally get to be here, and especially talking about Lyon. I couldn't have asked for a better start into the podcast. I'm very glad to be here.
Absolutely, our pleasure. And listen, let's go back. I think Lyon, obviously, just like one of the most fascinating women's teams. Hence you writing a book about them because of their success. But I think last season, the 21-22 season, probably the most interesting Lyon season. So before we kind of look ahead to the game on Thursday night, I'd really like to rewind to last season and talk about them winning their Champions League title back. And I don't use the word their title loosely. I know Lyon would very much consider it their title because obviously Barcelona won it in 2021. And I think everyone assumed that Barcelona would do the same again in 2022. But Lyon came back, roared back, beat Barcelona in the final to win the Champions League. Were you surprised by that, to see Lyon kind of come back and win the Champions League when all the talk was about how Barcelona were the new show in town and they were going to dominate the competition, maybe in the way that Lyon have over the last decade?
If you're going to ask the fan in me, I'd say 100% Lyon were going to win it. I just knew it all along, believed in them 100%. But if you ask the analyst in me and the writer in me, then I would say that I think to some extent, and I think in the deepest heart of every Lyon fan, it was a little bit of a surprise that they came back and they were actually able to win the Champions League. Because I think there was a point where I don't think any of us thought that Lyon would be, maybe they would definitely be maybe in and around the semi-final. I definitely thought they were semi-final material, but I didn't think they were final and maybe winning Champions League material, at least in the beginning. There was a bit of a struggle in the beginning of the season. There were moments where they were up and down, weren't very consistent. And I think for me, that came down to the fact of, you know, Bompester had come in for first full season. I think she was finding her way with the team, kind of where she wanted to take them. And, you know, I think for me, eventually it was when she got her team down and the system she wanted down, it got a lot better. But I think the moment that it turned for me was probably ideally when it was the Wolfsburg game that Barcelona played against them. I think that was the foundation for where we could really see that Barcelona were there for the taking in some regard. And if you can follow that blueprint and kind of close them down, I thought that was important. So I think for Lyon, I think it was all right, if you can get to the final and you can execute the game plan, there's you're in with a shout right now. I think with what happened was I think Wolfsburg had figured out that if you close off their supply in midfield, stop the wide players from getting into good positions, you have a chance of stopping Alexia and stopping the rest of them from going through. And I think Leon did that really well. And the biggest surprise to me was they were happy of surrendering possession in that final. All right, Barcelona, you want possession, you take possession. We will sit, defend with our players, and we will beat you in a different way. And that's, I think, what surprised me the most, was that Leon changed their style. It almost showed humility in their game, saying, right, we were the best, but there's obviously this new team in town. We need to adjust to kind of show everybody that we are still who we are and we can evolve. And I think that's what they did. And I think that's what ultimately led them to winning the Champions League.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of, looking at that Wolfsburg semi-final, it was almost like Wolfsburg worked out too late. Because you look at the second leg, I thought Wolfsburg were really, really good. And not even just the second leg, but maybe the last part of the first leg. It's just, unfortunately, the game was done at that point. But I think you're right, that high press, that, you know, taking the game to them and closing them down. And on this occasion, Leon went ahead early. They got a couple of goals early and they really had something to hold on to. And like you say, I think it was not quite underdog football, but I think you're right. It just showed real humility from them to kind of recognise that, you know, to be able to play that football. And I thought it was an absolutely intriguing final as a result. In domestic terms then as well, because it wasn't just the Champions League that Leon won back, it was Ligue 1 as well, which, having won it, I think, 14 times in a row, PSG took the title in 2021. And so Leon had these kind of big twin upsets in 2021. Not only did they not win the Champions League, they didn't win their domestic league, which is, you know, almost unprecedented. And do you think that there was... I mean, I'm sure that was a motivator and there are a lot of soft factors behind this. Do you think that's all it was, or did Leon adapt domestically as well to win their title back?
I think they had to adapt a little bit to their domestic title, because if you look at the season where they lost the title domestically, it was 1 point in it. So it's not like they were completely out of it, but I felt like that season Paris were just, you know, PSG were just a little bit better. And I think it was that odd season where they weren't exactly out of form, but they weren't exactly in form. And it was kind of the first season that I remembered in a long time where there were the up and down in form was heavy. It was a lot of up and down in form. And maybe not in terms of results, because that season they basically had, I think they had lost, if I'm not wrong, one game, and they had one draw and 20 wins. But then when you're playing against PSG, that one draw, that one loss is the difference between the title. And that season, you know, PSG had two draws. So if you look at it, that draw versus that loss ended up being the deciding factor. So I think it was almost, it felt very much to me like the beginning of an end of a cycle of, like, you know, the Les Sommers, the Marjan eventually gets injured. Les Sommers kind of is in and out of the team. There's a couple of players that need to go in and out, some want to leave. And it was very messy in a way. And I felt like going into the 2021-22 season, they needed a change. And obviously they started the season off, you know, decently well. And then obviously with, I think it was it, seven games to spare, Bompester comes in, they fire off, you know, Vasseur and they bring in Son. I think that was the turning point. I think bringing in somebody who knew the club inside and out, club legend, knows the players, has even played with some of the players that are there. I think suddenly the dressing room was a little bit more united. And I think the dressing room, you know, and I've said this before, I think the dressing room had a little bit more respect for the coach in terms of listening to ideas, listening to the way she's going to play, because not to mention her assistant is Camille Abelie, another legend that's played with these teams. And it's almost like a Wendy Renard out of Hegerberg can't actually turn around and tell them, we know better than you, because, well, those two are living legends and you can't disrespect those legends. And I think they finally realized the importance of them then. I think that settled the squad and nobody could say anything. And I think that, more than adjusting in tactics, more than anything else, I think it was adjusting the mentality and adjusting and giving them a sense of discipline, giving the sense of identity, both on and off the pitch. I think that coming together was the basis of their success going into the following season.
Yeah, that kind of preempts what my next question was going to be about, Sonia Bampostor, and you've kind of put it there, and you can see that Lyon went through a few coaches before that, and for example, Jean-Luc Vasseur. I'm not really sure, I don't know. Looking from the outside, I felt like during his reign, sometimes it could have just been a scarecrow in the dugout and that it didn't really matter. And I wonder whether you think, and I know some English players who've been to Lyon now, I think there's a caveat here that generally English players struggle when they go abroad and when they don't speak the language and things like that. But I know some players have kind of gone to Lyon and said, it's like a winning machine, but it's not like a warm, friendly club to be at necessarily. Not that they had problems, but it was just like, it's a bit of a Harlem Globetrotters type thing. So do you think that, I guess a little bit like in the men's game, right? Zidane is the kind of coach, or Ancelotti, if you're Real Madrid, it's a kind of almost quarreling of egos as much as anything. Do you think that that's the Lyon job, or do you think that it's evolved a little bit now?
I think it's been a little bit of an evolution, but a lot of what you said, I think, still holds true, because that dressing room still has the big names of Wendy Renard, Arda Hegerberg, Amandine Henry. You've got these characters in there that are so big, and they're almost the ethos of what the club represents. They're the lifeline, the heart, the soul of the club. And like what Zidane did when he came in and he changed it, and the respect that he garnered from a Ronaldo or a Benzema or a Toni Kroos, Bombasta did the same thing with those three players, as I just mentioned. And I think that was the first. I think that was what Lyon missed the trick. Like, you were 100%. Like, if when Vasseur was there, and even Reynald Pedros before that, you could have put anybody. You and I could have been standing on the touchline and just named a team sheet and went play. And because it was the players deciding what they wanted to do on the pitch, there was no real tactical direction. The times that they started, the one of the reasons they were so successful is just because they were just better than everybody else, to put it simply. Like, they were just a level above, and so tactics didn't really play a part in kind of the way they needed to play. And maybe against the Wolfsburgs and the Turbine Potsdams of the world at the time when they were competing in the early years, but later on, with three seasons ago, it was just like, all right, cool, we'll, like, when they beat Barcelona the first time in, I think it was 2018, that 4-1, That was just like, there was no tactics. It was just get the ball out wide, play them on the counter, and then just destroy them, right? Barcelona had no chance. And you look at that and you think, okay, this is just a superior team. And now, because everybody got a lot better, suddenly it wasn't just, a Vasseur who can just pick a team. It was, all right, we need some tactics now. And I think that's the reason they lost the league and then obviously the Champions League in that season a couple of seasons ago, because they didn't adapt and they couldn't adapt. And I thought the coach just didn't have any ideas. There was no respect. And then Sonia comes in. We talked about the respect factor, the fear, almost the fear factor internally in a good way. And I think she tactically, for me, brought an identity that was never there before, right? They actually suddenly had a style of playing. They had something on the pitch that you could relate to. And even the players that they wanted to bring in almost represented that, right? And okay, so she inherited a lot of the team. And obviously over the summer, they brought in one or two players. Lindsay Horan comes in, Sara Dabritz gets signed, as the two of the notable players. And I think they kind of fitted into the way the club wanted to play. And I feel like, at least until right now, which we'll get into, I'm assuming in a few, but like, it was, all right, we're going in a certain direction. It's working out for the best part. And, finally Lyon have this ethos. And I think that is what took them to the win, because they stuck to their principles, but they weren't afraid of maybe enhancing and tweaking their principles to make it work for them. And then, and beat Barcelona at their own game.
And coming on to this season then, I mean, I want to deal with the Arsenal game separately next, but just talking more generally, like even domestically, I've seen that by their standards, not had the results they wanted. Over the weekend, they lost a big game to PSG. And something I was told ahead of the initial Lyon-Arsenal game was how open Lyon looked defensively. Why have Lyon, again, by their own standards, struggled this season? Is it just injuries? Because we know they've got a lot, or there are other factors, do you think?
I think it's a little bit of both. I would say that 70% of the problem is injuries, because if you look at one point, there were 10 players out and all key players. Ellie Carpenter's out with a long-term injury. Katerina Macari's out with a long-term injury. Amal Majri obviously was pregnant, and so she was out of action for a long time. Grigian boxed out with a major knee injury, you know, and then the list, like Dabritz is currently out for 4 months, and you've just got the key players that have been in and out. So I think first, injuries for sure, and not just to like fringe players, but players that is very, very difficult to replace. I mean, you obviously, I think Arsenal were lucky in a sense when Leah Williamson and Ofeli were out. Lawton Woman Moy stepped in, but not every club has the luxury of being able to have someone come in and have the luck of, right, that player steps up. It could have very easily been that she maybe didn't come up to the mark, and then there would have been a few issues. And I think Leon's problem was they've got players, I think, and one player I'll touch on right now is Alice Sombath, who's come through the academy. She's had a few minutes last season. She has the quality. She's a very, very promising centre-back. But the problem is, because of Renard and Buchanan and Mbok playing ahead of her in the season before, she had very few limited minutes where, you know, compared to other younger centre-backs who maybe get a little bit more minutes. So now when she's kind of thrust into first being the third choice centre-back after Buchanan leaves, but then being thrust into being the first choice, while I think the domestic game she can handle, it's these big Champions League games where, you know, she needs to step in. But then just isolating it to her, she now has to play at right back, because the right backs get injured, whether it's Inés Llorena, whether it's Janice Kamen, who has to be given a rest. And so there's this constant shifting in positions, especially in the back line for Lyon, where it hasn't helped. I think Christian Endler has not had the best form this season. I think she's dropped off from last season to her high standards. You know, Renard's been in and out of the team through injury. So the consistency, the chemistry between the players in terms of having a stable back line hasn't been there. And I think that's affected the back. And I think that's affected the front as well. You know, when you lose someone like Khadisha Buchanan, who played a large chunk of last season, you lose someone like Grigian Bok. These two players are excellent ball progressors. They're excellent playing out of the back. They're intelligent in covering. They're two of the best center backs in the world. Suddenly in one summer, you lose both, right? For different reasons. And it's tough to cope. You know, you can't expect an 18 or 19 year old to come in and suddenly say, all right, you need to perform to the requisite level of your predecessor, right? It's a little bit unfair. And I don't think anybody expected that from her. But at the same time, you know, to me, I felt like Lyon banked on her to be that next player to step in. But I think for them, it was they weren't expecting Mbok to get injured over the summer, and they wanted to ease her into minutes. So I think that's one part. I think secondly, and this kind of maybe goes against what I was just saying earlier about Sonia Bompasso, but I feel like there's maybe now starting to become a slight lack of ideas and lack of evolution, which again, we need to come on to, because there's no Ada Hegerberg and there's no Macario. Now, those two together scored about 35 or 40 goals for Lyon. Macario was the high top scorer with 22, and Ada Hegerberg had 16, and then Millard had 16. Now, I think Millard's 16 goals came majority because of the way the others played, and so she was in the right position, right time. But I think the ones that made them tick was Macario and Hegerberg. And when you lose both of your top goal scorers and playmakers in that team, you are asking for you know, to struggle for goals. And what I felt like is the way Lyon played last season was use Macario as this attacking number 8, 10, running late into the box, scoring goals, you know, that way by making late runs. Problem is, they don't actually have anybody else like her. You know, Lindsey Horan, Van der Donk, Sarah Bates, all of these players are ones that like to play around the box, play make, hold the ball. Nobody wants to run in behind. And when you've got someone like Signe Bruun or Eugenie Le Sommer in the forward line, they can play like Ada. But the problem with them is, if you're going to replicate the same system, you need to have the similar sort of personnel in there. And I feel like Lyon don't have the same personnel. They're playing Van der Donk and Horan as their two advanced midfielders, but they're very much playmakers. They want runners. And there's only one runner in Millard. And so that evolution hasn't happened where, okay, maybe we need to adjust the game to get in more crosses to get into Signe Bruin, or we play into the half spaces to play into Eugenie Le Sommer's, you know, strengths. So I think that for me is where the problem has been this season in terms of Lyon's lack of change and lack of evolution. And I think they have the players to make an effect. But if she doesn't change a little bit, I think it's going to suffer a little bit more.
Yeah, and talking about like, we'll come on to Signe Bruin a little bit later. But yeah, if you want to get crosses in to someone like her, Ellie Carpenter would be really, really helpful at right back. And I look at like Buchanan in almost exactly the same way I look at Nikita Paris at Arsenal, in that they both left kind of in search of minutes. And you just think, man, if you'd stayed this season, you'd have got loads. Like Buchanan would have played every minute of every game. Ditto Nikita Paris. Left Arsenal because she couldn't get past Beth Mead. Now Beth Mead is out for the season. Nikita Paris would be playing every game at the moment, but c'est la vie, as it were. Let's come on to that Lyon-Arsenal game then, if it's not too painful to do so. And I was up high in the press box in that game, and I took a picture of the pitch about 5 minutes in, because I just couldn't believe how much space there was in behind. And I think I tweeted something and I was like, if Lyon don't close this up, Arsenal are going to score some goals tonight. And when I spoke to a lot of the Arsenal players afterwards, a lot of them said the same thing. They said, yeah, we came in with a game plan. We'd seen that Lyon were getting exposed behind their fullbacks. We believed in it. But as the game went on, we just believed in it more and more. And I think Arsenal had the same realization where they were like, they're going to keep letting us do this. They're just going to keep letting us run in behind. I mean, were you, like I said earlier, I was told before, like, Lyon's defense is there for the taking, but I kind of thought, okay, maybe we can score some goals tonight. Maybe we can get a draw or something like that. I mean, how surprised were you by how that first game actually turned out?
I'm very surprised, because at one point, now, I thought that Arsenal were the favorites for the game for sure. That was my reading of the game as well. Lyon weren't the greatest defensively and they were struggling for defenders. And I think that was if I'm not wrong, that was the height of their injury crisis. Everybody was going left, right, and center. They just stitched together this back line. I mean, that day, Inés Llorena was playing at right back, and that was maybe her third or fourth game then. She's actually a defensive midfielder that had come from Bordeaux in the summer. And, you know, I mean, no offense to her, but she's not of the requisite quality. She's there as a backup and purely as a backup for the league games, you know, right, in my opinion. And to thrust her in against Arsenal, whoever's playing on that left wing, is a tough ask. So I don't blame her for what happened, but she's not a right back. So some of her positioning was so off. I remember the tweet that you made, because I saw it, and then literally I was watching the highlights and I saw your tweet, and I just literally saw, I think it was the third goal or something, and I went, This is they were asking for it. And I don't know if you'd agree with me. I actually thought maybe three or four of the goals Lyon gave away. It was their own doing. Was we're just like, they just gave Arsenal the ball. Arsenal was like, okay, you're giving this to us. We'll just score. And they didn't have the defenders. I think they didn't have the momentum at the time. Everything was going pear shaped, and it was just bad. So I mean, I. In one way, I'm like, right, deserved. You gave away five. Essentially, you gave away five goals of your own doing, right? I was expecting maybe at worst a 2-1 loss, maybe a 1-1 draw, but I certainly wasn't expecting a 5-1. And, you know, if I can link it to the game that they played last night, while I haven't watched the whole thing because it kicked off at midnight my time, but from what I read and what I saw a little bit was, they were in the game. I mean, they had 20 shots, you know, 8, 6, 7, 8 on target. So they have rallied back into some sort of a team and some sort of a system and setup. There is a little missing, and obviously we'll talk about that when we get to the game this week. But I think that game, they just weren't prepared. They just weren't prepared. I think they were completely out of it. They were stitching together a back line. The injuries were mounting. Everybody was frustrated. And it was just there for the taking, if I can put it plainly.
Yeah, and of course, this Thursday's game, I think as well, one of the things that when I was out there at the first game, someone said to me as well, who's, you know, who watches Lyon a lot, has said, actually, a lot of these injuries aren't going to clear up anytime soon. Like, they're not 1, 2, 3 week injuries. I think Cascarino's back now. How different will the Lyon team look to Thursday night compared to the one that played in October?
Oh, I think hugely different. I think one key person that we haven't mentioned at all yet, I think, is Vanessa Giles coming in on loan. She's hugely experienced, obviously, you know, has played in the league before, was playing in Angel City, obviously coming on a year loan. And to me at the time, I said that when she was signed, obviously she came in carrying an injury. So it's not like you could thrust her in. She came in with an ankle injury as well. So for me, I thought she was going to be a very key signing because she comes in with experience, someone who speaks the language. You know, we talked about knowing the language. I mean, I think if we look at one successful player there that came from England, Lucy Bronze, she learned French, settled in. And I think her status and just ability as a player, the team was like, yeah, this is the player that, you know, we can, you know, the level that we like and the level that we want. And so obviously they integrated into the team a little bit better than I think others. But I think Vanessa has that same quality that I think in terms of the aura coming into a Lyon going, okay, no, she's not the best center back in the world, but I think the way she carries herself, what she's done playing in the league, I think the team respects that. And I think they know that, you know, from what was available, you know, she was probably the best option and she's kind of come in, she settled in. And I think now her being in the back line, you know, having a bit more of a settled Janice came in the back line, Renard, and then one other player, and I'm going to bring up now, I think that has been so hugely underrated this season, is Pearl Moroni coming in at left back. For the last couple of years, she obviously played at PSG and then she came to Lyon last season. She was kind of a so-so left back, supportive defensive left back, kind of sat there, did her job, but wasn't really doing anything major, great, you know. But this season, she's kind of come in and given the team a little bit more of a defensive solidarity. You know, it's between her and Salma Bashir, depending on the tactics. And every time I've seen Moroni play this season, it's been very, very, she's been defensively solid. She's offered enough to support the back line, which has allowed Janice Kamen to push forward, being a natural, you know, winger on the right side. And so she's brought a bit more balance. And I feel like the Lyon we'll see against Arsenal on Thursday, at least from a defensive perspective, is a lot more settled, if I can put it that way. There's not a lot of spaces going in behind. They've restricted PSG to maybe, I think, 5 or 6 shots in total, right? Yes, they lost to a set piece, unlucky, really annoying. But, you know, the signs of more disciplined and better defense is there. And obviously going forward, Cascarino's back, always a dangerous winger for me. You know, one of the best young prospects going forward. I feel like, and obviously a player you know very well, Daniela van der Donk, I think, has now settled into Lyon really well. And she's become first choice. Yes, maybe due to injury, but she's become first choice and actually playing really well next to Lindsay Horan and Demarais as the number 6. And I think that midfield trio, it almost reminds me of the current Croatian men's midfield of Kovacic, Brozovic and Modric, where you've got 3 players who are good. And I think the team runs through that middle 3. The middle 3 perform, the rest of the team thrives around them. And so yeah, I think for me it's a very settled side now, and maybe there's a couple of question marks in the striker and the things and where the goal is going to come from. But I think from a progression standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, I'm a lot more happy with it now than I was a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I ran into DVD in a hotel before the game actually, and you know, just had like a bit of a catch up, and you know, congratulated her on winning the Champions League, and she said yeah, but I want, she was an unused sub in the final, and she said, yeah, but I want to do it when I'm on the pitch. She was like, I was really grateful to be back from injury because she had a nasty injury last season, but she was like, I want to do it again and I want to get on the pitch this time. And I know she's really, really determined to do that. One question, like one area where Lyon won't be augmented really tomorrow night is up front, is the centre forward position. And they're playing Signe Brun there at the moment, a player Arsenal have been linked with. I don't believe there's been any contact yet. Maybe she's on a list or something, but Arsenal are certainly looking to bring in at least one forward in January. Obviously, Ada Hegerberg continues to have injury problems, and I'm kind of fascinated by, do you think Lyon will do anything there in January? I've had a theory for a while they might like to test Man United for Alessia Russo, but do you kind of agree that Lyon will probably buy a big striker soon? And do you think it will be as soon as January?
I think Lyon are looking for a strike, and I think they need one. I mean, the way things are going, you know, they are lacking firepower up front. Obviously, we don't know when. Obviously, you just mentioned Ada Hegerberg, and we don't know when her return is. You know, she's kind of an unknown return date. We don't know when Makari is coming back, and if she does come back, how long does it take to get her to full fitness? You know, et cetera, et cetera. And I think this next striker signing is almost a little bit of forward planning as well. I think they know that there is a cycle that needs to be run through now very, very soon, whether it's this summer, as far early as this summer or next summer, we don't know yet. But I think there's a hint of that. And I would love to test Man United's resolve on Alessia Russo. You know, but the current issue is that because she doesn't count as an EU player and it's a non-EU player, there's no slots left at Lyon. So you've got Haran, you've got Carpenter, you've got Macario, you know, and you've got these players there, and obviously Tian Endler as well. But the problem is now, who do you get rid of now in the summer when Haran finishes her loan? You suddenly have a slot open. So I can see her maybe coming on a free. And my theory is, Hegerberg's contract finishes in 2025 or 2024, 25, if I'm not wrong. You know, you tell Russo, look, you come in, you learn from one of the best strikers in the world, you know, and, you know, if there is a feeling of, okay, Arda's not going to renew, she's going to move on, you will be groomed to be Leon's new number nine in the new cycle, along with Macario, you know, Cascarino and that spine that's there. So there is, I would agree that I think, I mean, if there's an opportunity that comes and the slots are open, I no doubt I think they would try. But, you know, but I think either way, I think they need to go and pick some sort of striker or attacker in January, because I'm not entirely convinced by Melvin Mallard this season as well. I think she obviously scored a lot of goals last season, but this season I don't think she's been very clinical. I think she's been okay, but there's no other real alternative on that side. They've got a couple of players. Vicky Besho's there, but again, someone who better off the bench. So I think there is a little bit of shopping to do in January. It's just about who's available and whether they're able to pick somebody up at a good price.
Yeah, I think Arsenal are in a very similar position, actually, in terms of trying to pick someone up in January. Just a final question then to finish. Now, obviously, Lyon in a situation where, you know, there are two games left. They're currently second in the group. They've got Arsenal away, and then they finish with Juventus at home, which looks like it's going to be a bit of a playoff, because you'd expect Juventus to beat Zurich at home on Thursday night as well. So do you see, is there any chance in your mind that Lyon amazingly don't get out of this group, or do you think they'll do it?
I don't even want to imagine that. It's too scary to imagine that situation. I mean, obviously there is a possibility. The way their form is, there is a possibility, but I think the Champions League is their home. The Champions League is the one competition that they get up for and they wake up for. Every player at that club lives, breathes the Champions League more than the domestic league. And I think every player that's there, it's like, we want to win the Champions League. This is an 8-time European Championship team. We want to do well. And maybe not against Arsenal. Maybe they do come up. Maybe this is the time that they decide, right, this is now or never. I don't think there's ever been a pressure situation like this in terms of qualification ever before. Maybe this is the moment they get up and say, right, we need to make a change. We need to win. We need to get 3 or 4 points on these two games. We can do it. I mean, last season, arguably, obviously, they had the other players available, but they were in a similar situation against Juventus, right? In the quarterfinals, first leg, lost there. Eli Carpenter's the red card. Everything was going well, and it kind of went on their head. Come back in that second leg, smashed it, and won 3-1. Right. So, I think they'll do it. I think whether it's maybe not against Arsenal, but I think against Juventus, they'll come back, because the game Juventus against Arsenal as well was a tight affair as well. And obviously Arsenal just sneaked it out. But I think Lyon have got the players. I think they've got the thing. And I think they know that if they win this, they go into January in a much better position in terms of getting the players, resetting, and then being able to get ready for the knockout stages come 3-4 months from now. So yeah, I'm going to be the optimistic fan and say, yeah, we'll make it through.
Yeah, I have to say I agree. And I agree with your point there that I think Lyon in March are going to look like a very different team compared to how they are now. I also think given the size of the Women's Champions League, that finishing second in, like, I don't think finishing top versus finishing second is as much of an advantage, because I'm looking at some of the teams who might finish second in their groups and, you know, thinking, yeah, I don't really want to play any of them either. And like you say, I actually think there's something about Lyon that even if they drew Barcelona in the quarterfinal, for example, like, they'd be bang up for that, just like they were the final. And if there's one team you'd back in a situation like that, it's Lyon. And I have to say, like, in terms of the overall competition, if I feel like Lyon will either go out in the groups or they'll win it. I really don't feel like there's much of an in-between. But we will see. That will all unfold potentially on Thursday evening at Emirates Stadium. It's going to be a weird position for Arsenal as well, because they kind of, a draw will do them. Not getting thrashed will do them as well, quite frankly. So we'll see how that goes. But Abdullah, thanks so much for your insight on that. And, you know, I've been wanting to do a pod on Lyon anyway for ages because they're so fascinating. And obviously the two teams meeting this Thursday was the perfect opportunity to do it. And we'll have you back on at the end of May ahead of Arsenal-Lyon in the final.
Absolutely. I'll be looking forward to breaking that one down.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Thanks very much for downloading and listening. We will be back probably next week with me, Alex, and or Pippa. With a mailbag episode. I'll be out in Zurich for the last game, so we'll see how the schedule works for that. But we'll come at you with a mailbag definitely before Christmas. Thanks very much for listening and downloading, and we will speak to you again presently.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.